I hope I can preach a good sermon. It may not be, but who knows? Every once in a while I preach a dud. just can't help it. See, that's why you... Oh, yes, you have. You're just being nice. That's why you need to come to all the services, see, because if I preach a dud, then the next one maybe will be good. Or if you don't like my preaching, you come and hear Jeff tonight, see, good, get some good ones. But, yeah, some of them, you know, I try to preach at least one good one a week, so make up for the duds. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I'm going to take a text from verse number 17, but I'm going to skip around and give you some different things. And I'm going to review just a little bit this morning. I hope that'll be all right with you in Hebrews chapter number 13. So if you find your place there, let me talk to you for a minute I'll go ahead and read it. I'm going to begin in verse number 17. I'll read down through the end of the chapter, and I'm in Hebrews chapter 13. That's the last chapter in the book of Hebrews. It says, verse number 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with grief and not that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." So I want to take a text from that verse there, and the part I want to talk to you about this morning is they that must give account. They that must give account. I want to talk to you this morning about our being accountable to God. All right? So we'll come back to that after a while. Verse number 18, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner." He's writing. Here's Paul probably writing. Verse number 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you," that's his first ending. He's going to have another ending down here. "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen." So we're going to get up to that verse number 17 after a little bit, but it says, "they that must give account." So we want to talk about that this morning for a little while, but we're going to look at a bunch of other things first. Let us pray. Father, we pray to you to help us now this morning. And God, thank you for the privilege to be here to assemble with your people today. They're your people, Lord. You bought them. You shed your blood for them. And God, we want to try to talk about that this morning. And I pray, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to gather with your people today. I pray that you'll bless their hearts. And I pray the Spirit of God would help me this morning to be a help and a blessing to them. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. They sang a while ago about the love of God. It was the love of God that brought Jesus Christ, our Lord, down to the earth. The Bible says that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Each one of you sitting here, it doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter red, brown, black, or white, Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross so that you could have eternal life. That love led him to the cross, and that's what held him to the cross. I mean, you know, we have one of our favorite songs around here is that he didn't come down. He did not come down from the cross. He could have come down, but he didn't. And so thank God for that. And he bought for us and he brought for us salvation. That means to be saved, to go to heaven whenever you die. It is not hard. It is not complicated. God did not make it complicated. You see, salvation, being saved, going to heaven, having your sins forgiven, being a child of God is not in somebody's church. It is not in the baptistry back here. Lord willing, we might baptize somebody tonight, see. It is not in religious activities that you might do. It is not in taking communion. It is not in the sacraments. It is not in how good, it is not in how bad you are. It is none of those things, but salvation is in a person. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 11, it says, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." You see, it's not in anything else. It's not in a building. It's not in a church. but it's in His Son. It's in a person. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. See, that is verse number 12 of 1 John chapter number 5. Let me tell you something, folks. God wants you to be saved so bad that He put it in the Bible in 19 one-syllable words right there. 19 one-syllable words that anybody can understand, from a child up to, you know, who up to the oldest person. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can divide the world into two groups: those who have the Son, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and those who have not the Son of God, they don't have any life. We're talking about eternal life here, you see. Now, he goes on to say in the next verse, in verse number 13 of 1 John chapter number 5, these things have I written unto you. See, he wrote it down in a book for you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants you to have it, and he wants you to know that you have it. You can't enjoy it if you don't know that you have it. But you can know it by according to what God says in the Bible, see. And so God sent His Son into the world to bear our sins in His own body. After you get saved, God's got some things for you to do. You don't have to do a whole bunch, you don't have to do a bunch of work in order to get saved, but you work because you are saved. At least you're supposed to. People are supposed to work because they are saved, not in order to get saved, you see. And so we're here in the book of Hebrews, I would say probably the writer's Paul, but in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, and he gives us some powerful instructions on the Christian life and what we are supposed to do. That would be to the body of Christ. You people, if you're saved this morning, most of you probably are, might be a few folks who are not, and I hope that you'll get saved. But you are the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ. You see, you're made up a part of His spiritual body. You come to Jesus Christ for salvation, but then after that, at least people ought to, they ought to come to a Baptist church, for sound doctrine, you see. Churches are supposed to preach sound doctrine, truth. We are a Baptist church, and we are not the Baptist church, but we are a Baptist church. Just give you a little lesson here on churches, but we are not, I don't believe in the Baptist church. We are not a denomination. We are a Baptist church. That is, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and the Holy Bible as our guide, and Jesus Christ is our head and our Savior. We do not have headquarters in Nashville or headquarters in some other city or town, but we are a Baptist church, and that's where you ought to go to get sound doctrine, you know, to be taught the Bible. But you go to Jesus Christ for salvation. Anyway, so when you get saved, God takes you out of your sins, and He puts you into Jesus Christ, makes you a part of Him. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ this morning? If you're saved, then you're in Christ, you see. That's a spiritual thing. You're in Christ, and He's in you. And so if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I want you to take your Bibles and turn back a little bit to the left there from the book of Hebrews and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Ephesians chapter 1, and let me read for you a couple of verses here, verse number 3, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Ephesians 1, 3, and Paul is writing, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, you see. All right, so he took you out of your sins, and he put you into Christ. Verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. If you're in Christ, then you are accepted with God. Outside of Christ, nobody's accepted. You're not accepted in your own flesh. You've got to be in Christ, and then you are accepted. Chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, look in verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, talking to the Gentiles, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, we sing about the blood of Jesus Christ, and you're made near, you're made nigh to Jesus Christ by his blood. Look in verse number 15, down just a little bit. Verse number 15 of Ephesians chapter 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse number 16, and that he might reconcile both, that be Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. All right? Okay, go back over to the book of Hebrews. Just a little bit of introduction there. I don't want to let any service go by where I might have an opportunity to tell people about how to be saved and what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, even though I might be preaching something else. I might not preach a salvation message, but I want to make it clear to you that you can be saved and that God wants you to be saved, that you can have eternal life, and eternal life never ends. When you get it, he's not going to take it away from you. I believe in eternal security. And so I always want to put that in. So I want to show you some things here. Since we are in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews, the last sermon that I'm going to preach for a while from it, I want to just hit a few high spots here in chapter number 13. So if you look there, verse number 1 and 2, 3, I'm not going to cover those. Look at verse number 4. Here's an important verse. Here's an important verse. Verse number 4 of Hebrews chapter number 13, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge it. If I had to pick a subject to preach on, I probably wouldn't preach on that subject. But I have to bring it up. I have to bring it up, see, because it is a major problem in our country today. Things like no marriages and broken marriages, see. You can go up and down the streets in any town, even a city that you want to, and you will find problems in that area. But look, God has the answer. God's way is always the best way. Follow God's way, you see. And if people have problems, God can help you. God will help people with their problems in marriage. The Bible says here that for a man and a woman to be married, it is an honorable thing. You got a husband, you got a wife, then we ought to be faithful to them. Marriage is an honorable thing. We ought to do it God's way. There's a right way and a wrong way to do things. Look, folks, let me give you an illustration. If I go out here, I can go out here and we knock on doors every Tuesday night. We go knock on doors on the streets and invite people to church. We witness to people and things like that. Over here on the west side of town, there's some big houses over there, two-story houses. Knocked on those doors, and a lot of kids living in those houses. You know what they are? They're college kids. They're just boys and girls, 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're all thrown in there together, living together in houses. And then they say that there is a problem on college campuses with sexual assaults. I just wonder why that would be. Do you wonder why that would be? They throw all these young kids together. I've got news for them. Maybe they don't know, but I think people, young people especially, are not made out of stone. They're not made out of stone. You see, and that's what happens when you throw young people together. But they're not going to fix it. They're not going to fix it, you see. Things like that. But you see, the liberals, they call this progress. That's what's called progress. That ought not to be done, you see. Now me, I know I'm behind the times. I'm old-fashioned. I don't believe in that sort of thing. I think you ought to get married and things like that. And I hope you do too. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. God's way is better. God's way will work, and Christians ought to do better than the world's way out there. See, do things God's way, and you'll be better. For it. You see, young people, they come to these colleges and evidently they've grown up maybe with no Bible or something like that, no Bible in the home, and they don't know very much. And so they go and they do these kinds of things. That's not good. That's not good. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just one voice I don't think that's a good thing, you see. Let me tell you something, folks. I've told you this before, but this is a good saying. Sin has long arms. Sin has long arms, and it reaches out, and folks, sometimes it lasts a long time. It'll last a long time. So please, I'm telling you, I'm talking to all you young people, do it God's way. You will be blessed, especially in your later life. You'll be blessed for doing it God's way. But I'm going to hasten to say that God will help you. God is so merciful, and He is so kind, and He is long-suffering. Man, I just thank God that God is so patient and so kind. That's something that I've had to learn, is try to be patient. You see, because I don't have much patience. I mean, I want patience, but I'd like to have it right now. And it doesn't last, my patience doesn't last very long, you see. But I've had to learn, and maybe I've learned a little bit, to be patient. Because God is patient with you. If God hadn't have been patient with me, well, I'd be dead and in hell by now, see. Amen? That's just one of the things I wanted to point out for you right there. Look in verse number 5. Verse number 5 is a great promise in the Bible. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I've been over that with you. I hope that verse will be a blessing to you folks. That God, especially you folks that have just been saved, God is with you and He's never going to leave you. He will never leave you for any reason whatsoever. Remember that verse. Look down to verse number 8. Verse number 8 said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Brothers and sisters, whenever we fail, God is always the same. I mean, Jesus, it says here. He's always the same. He never fails, and He'll always be there. He will never leave you. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Look in verse number 9. Verse number 9 I went over last week. It says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them which have been occupied therein. I told you this last week. I said, be careful about divers and strange doctrines. There's a lot of things being taught out there. Make sure that you don't go outside the Bible. You learn the things that are found in the Bible that will profit you. Look down to verse number 13. Verse number 13, it says, let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. I told you last week, that's this. If you're a Christian, don't be afraid to be an outsider. Don't be afraid to be different, you see. That's the way we're supposed to do. We have to live in this world. But if you're a Christian and you're a saved child of God, you know, you're supposed to be following Him. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, so you're supposed to be following. Don't worry about the fads. Don't worry about the fashions of this world. They're all going to pass away. They're all going to pass away, man. Do what the Lord says. Do what the Lord says, see. So don't be afraid to be an outsider. The Bible says, bear His reproach. Be different. And then verse number 15 and 16, it says, I told you last week to praise and thank God a lot, all right? Praise and thank God. Just find you a place and praise God. We're so glad to have Sister Lori. I forgot to say hi. So good to have you. Amen. So find you a place and thank God and praise Him a lot because He's always good to us. He always gives us more. Now then, I want to spend a little bit of time here, a few minutes, on verse number 17 about giving account. It says, verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. That'd be the pastor there. But you see, it says they watch for your souls. That means it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. That means I don't need to go to your house and tell you what to do. It means I don't need to come to your house and straighten out your life, you know, if you got a problem, unless you just want me to come over and help you. But I don't need to do that, see. It's a spiritual thing. They watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. It's what he says here, pastor. He says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Now, I don't know about you folks, but that's a scary thing for me. That's telling me that I have to give an account for the people that God has put here to serve with, see. I have to give an account. I have to give an account for you folks. I have to answer for you, you see. The question is, you see, did I feed you? Did I feed you the Word of God? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 2, it says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. See, I'm supposed to feed you whenever you come. You're supposed to get fed the Word of God, see. Now sometimes we eat back here and we get fed, you know, that way, but he's talking about a spiritual sense here. One of these days I'm going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. And he's going to ask me, he's going to say, did you, whenever people came in the door, did you feed them the Word of God? Whenever people came in the door, did you point them to Jesus Christ? Whenever people came in the door, if they were unsaved, did you give them an opportunity to be saved? In other words, could they have been saved if they had listened to what you said? Did you preach what I told you to preach from the Bible? See, as Bible says here, I must give an account. See, whenever someone comes in the door there, did we treat them in the right way? Did we make them welcome here? See, I must give an account. Whenever someone sits down before me, do I cause them to doubt the Bible? Or do I cause them to have faith in the Bible, see, in what God has said? Do I make it clear to them, and so that they could have been saved? Doesn't say they did get saved, but could they have gotten saved if they had listened to what I said, you see? Could they have grown in the faith? Could they have been a better Christian if they had listened to what I said? Not did they become a better Christian, but could they have been a better Christian? Could they have become a mature Christian by listening to what I said? So he says, you must give an account. It's not an option. He said, you must do it. Whenever you die, and that's a sure thing unless Jesus comes. That's a sure thing that we're going to die unless Jesus comes in the air today. But he said, you must give an account. It's not an option. You're going to do it, you see. So I'll have to stand there, and I'll have to give an account for the folks. He said that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you, see. That'd be you folks, the ones who listened. You see, because whenever you come, you can either respond, you can obey what the Lord says, or you can walk out the door. Because I can't force anybody to do anything. I can't save anybody. I can't save a single solitary soul. All I can do is preach to them the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he was raised from the dead. That's all I can do. And then I can encourage them. I can try to persuade them, please, come. Jesus wants you to be saved. He's going to say, did you do that? When those new people came in the door, did you make sure that they heard about the cross? Did you make sure that you told them what Jesus did for them on the cross and that they can be saved, you see? Not did you get them saved. We pray that they'll be saved. But I can't save anybody. But I'm responsible. See, the pastor's what I'm talking about here. He must give an account. Turn in your Bibles, please, back to the left a little bit to, let's go to 2 Corinthians first, chapter 5. And I believe it's verse number 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let me read 9 and 10 for you. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. That is, that we might be pleasing to him, see. Verse number 10, here's what I want you to notice. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So I'm going to have to... I'm talking about myself here now as the pastor, or any pastor, that I'm going to have to give an account. But then in just a second, we're going to talk about you, because here it says also that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All right? Over to the left just a little bit from 2 Corinthians to Romans chapter 14 and verse number 10. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So there it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse number 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's verse number 12. All right, so he says, the pastor is supposed to watch for your soul, and he's got to give an account. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, folks, if you don't listen, if nobody listens, they don't pay attention to what God says. They said, well, I just don't believe that. And, I'm not going to get saved today. I'm going to put it off. See, I'm not responsible for that. I'm not responsible for that. See, that's not on me. But if I put it out there for you, I make it clear to you about salvation, then it'd be on you, see. It'd be off of me. But the Bible says not only must I give an account, but then you have to give an account. All right? You have to give an account. Okay, let's talk about that for just a minute. Look. That means that you as a Christian must give an account. If you're saved this morning, you have to give an account for your Christian life. See, that's what he's talking about. You have to give an account for what you heard. Did you do what God said? Did you obey what the Lord said, maybe through the preaching, through the reading and things like that? Did you obey what the Lord said? Did you care what God said? You sir, did you already have your mind made up and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that? You see, because I don't like what God said. Well, let me tell you something, folks. God's way is always better. It's always better. And on down the line, whenever we disobey God, it always pops up. You see, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. So he says here that we must all, if we don't listen to what God says here, then there'll be a grief to us and it'd be unprofitable for you, the Bible says. All right, so for a Christian, you have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved this morning, that's where you're going to have to go. Can't get out of it, folks. You're going to have to give an account for the Lord. You're going to have to stand there before Jesus Christ, give an account for how you lived your life as a Christian. But what if you're not saved? What if you're not saved? I show you, you have another judgment to go to. You see, you don't get to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Turn in your Bibles over to the right from the book of Hebrews to Revelation chapter 20. And be about verse number 11, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. Last book in the Bible, getting around over close to the end there, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. Here's John, and he says this. He says verse number 11. Now, remember, what we're going to read here, let's say, for instance, there's somebody here this morning, and you're not saved, and you were to die before you got saved. Your body's going to go in the grave, soul goes to hell, but one of these days you'll be raised back up and you'll have to stand at this judgment. Listen carefully, folks. Man, it is scary. It is scary. A great white throne. Who is sitting on the throne? Who's on that throne? Jesus Christ is on that throne. He's God, all right. But it's Jesus Christ sitting on that throne. He's the one that's sitting there on this great white throne. Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. I wonder how big it is. Wonder how big it is. I mean, is it bigger than Solomon's throne? Is it made out of ivory? But listen, folks, it's out in outer space. That's where it is. Outer space. This is for the unsaved people who died. They never got saved. They'll be raised up one day to stand before this judgment. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. See? A great white throne, and brother, everything flees away, the earth, everything, nothing but outer space. Somebody sitting on a throne. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there is found no place for them. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and hell, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, that's the judgment for those who die unsaved. Let me tell you something. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. God will give you an opportunity to present your case as to why he should not cast you back into hell, into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. You see, nobody's good enough to get through that. Let's go back. For the Christian, the judgment seat of Christ, that's you. That's for you. You want to go there. You want to go there. It's kind of scary, but it's where you want to go. Let's go back over to Hebrews now. It says in verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. So let's think for a minute. First off, the pastor has to give an account for what he said, what he preached. Did he feed the people? Did he help the people in a spiritual sense? Could they have become mature Christians if they would have listened and all that? And then it's on you to listen to what is said, obey the Word of God when you read it or when you hear it preached, if the preacher is preaching the truth. You need to check it out. That's why you're supposed to bring your Bible. We believe the Bible, King James Bible. Amen. See, you bring your Bible, read the Bible, check it out. Is the preacher telling the truth or is he lying to you? See, I mean, you know, that's what you got your Bible for. And so he says, verse number 17, that they that must give account, pastor, people. Now, we just have a few minutes, but since we know that we're going to give account, let me point out a few things down the line here in verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 that he tells us to do. I'm going to say, number one, what we ought to do in verse number 18 and 19, we ought to keep a good conscience. We ought to keep a good conscience. That's what Paul is saying, or whoever the writer is here, which is probably Paul. We should remember to keep a clear conscience. Do things right so that you can keep a clear, right, good conscience with God. Do things right. Folks, listen. People get started doing things wrong and it becomes a habit. I hope I don't hit anybody this morning. I'm not aiming at anybody. But you know what people do? They cheat on their income tax. And y'all cheating on your income tax? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Don't cheat on your income tax. They lie to the government. I'm not even a friend of the government. I think it's corrupt. But as long as it's there and it doesn't hinder us from obeying God, then the Bible says we're supposed to obey the powers that be. You see, we're supposed to be subject to the higher powers. But people do that, see. Why do they do that? They're trying to save a few measly pennies. And by lying to the government, lying to somebody, they miss out on some blessings that God would give them. See, just go on and pay your taxes. I hate to pay taxes. But see, people need to do the right thing and so they'll have a good, clear conscience. People, they lie to the government. They cheat on their taxes. They don't give to God. You see, they're half-hearted in their service to the Lord. Half-hearted, see. Becomes a habit, you see. They're just half-hearted in their service to God in church attendance. They never repent and they never confess their sin. They do things wrong. They do things wrong that they know it's wrong and God knows it's wrong, but they never come to the altar, see. They never spend any time in prayer. They just go right on. Look, God expects you and me to practice 1 John 1:9 if we confess our sins daily. Look into your heart and see what's there. I don't know about you, but man, I've got an evil heart. I'm probably the only one here that does, but it's evil. I think y'all must believe that. You see, brother, it's evil. It's evil. I told God about it. He knows it's evil, man. And so see, Keep a clear conscience. That's what he's saying here in verse number 18 and 19. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. I want to tell you another thing that you should remember. Remember this. Remember why you have what you have as far as salvation goes. You know why you have salvation this morning? It's in that verse there. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's why you have what you have, because Jesus Christ, not because you deserve anything, and not because I deserve anything, but it's because Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on the cross. That's the blood of the everlasting covenant. And you can have salvation because of that. So you want to remember that. I used to work for a preacher, Brother Gilman, and he'd always preach, and he would say, don't go too far from the cross. Don't go too far from the cross. That's some of those things that will profit you up there in verse number 9 that we talked about. You see, you want to stick with things that will profit you. Don't stray too far from the cross and salvation, you see. Amen? So you want to remember that. I'm telling you, because we are going to give an account, let's remember these things. Number one, remember to keep a clear conscience or a good conscience. Number two, remember why you have what you have. And number three, remember to grow in the faith. He says in verse number 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, after you get saved, folks, God's got some things he wants you to do. He says there, make you perfect. Well, perfect, that means it's to be everything that God wants you to be. To be perfect doesn't mean sinless, but to be everything that God wants you to be. If you're saved here this morning, Victor, you're saved this morning. Amen. Mm. We're glad that you're saved, and God wants you to grow in the faith. He wants you to become perfect. Perfect would be to give you an illustration of what it means to be perfect. You build yourself a house, and you get everything done on it that you can possibly do, and you stand back and you look at it and you say, man, that's a perfect house. I'm ready to move into that house. It's perfect. Well, what that means is, it doesn't mean that you couldn't go in there somewhere and lift up a shingle and find a little bit of dirt. Or you might go over in the corner and find something over there. There might be a bent nail over there or something. But as far as everything being done for you to move in, then the thing is perfect, you see. That's what God is saying. He wants you and he wants me to grow in the faith and be everything that he wants us to be. The starting place is to get saved. You got to get saved first. Jesus Christ comes and lives inside of you. You become a Christian. And then you need to yield yourselves. Too many Christians, they don't yield themselves, you see. But we need to do that. Yield ourselves to God, and your life will be blessed for it. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please.